Hello and welcome to the first episode of the Hawks Watch podcast here. I'm very excited to kick this pod off. It's something I've been considering for quite a while. But as you know, the 23-24 season was a little bit rough and I never really got around to it there. But with the number one pick and with more, you know, flexibility with that and potential for, you know, a plan moving forward, better roster construction. It's very interesting surrounding the Hawks, you know, what may happen in the next year. So just wanted to start off the pod here, and I'm going to talk a little bit about, you know, who we may pick at number one, what they may do, what the needs are with our roster, and what the offseason may look like a little bit. But without further delay here, I will introduce myself a little bit. I am James Arnold. I am a local Hawks fan here in Atlanta. I am not a reporter of the Hawks. I don't cover the team professionally, but I do follow everything quite closely, I would say. I do plan to start releasing episodes every 2 to 4 weeks or so, just covering the major topics surrounding the Hawks. But again, without further delay, let's get into it. About the number one pick and, you know, who the Hawks may pick here. I'm going to start off with just going over, you know, some pros or positives around the three major candidates and then questions and concerns around them as well. But the three major candidates, you know, talk nationally, you know, in mock drafts or reporters, you know, nationally. These are the top three that I've really seen talked about, you know, the Hawks looking to take. And so number one, of course, being Alex Sarr, Zachary Risacher as well out of France, and Donovan Klingon from UConn. So I'm going to start with Alex Sarr here, and let's start with the positives and, you know, what the main, you know, attractions to taking him number one would be. So number one, just his size, his athleticism at 7'1", he is a very fast, guy, very, you know, for that size at 7'1", a truly crazy athlete. You know, he's super quick, is able to move like 7'1" guys usually are not able to move. And just very athletic, and with that size, you know, he has great tools, and with that becomes, you know, a lot of upside with the tools that he has. You know, defensively, he's able to move his feet laterally, you know, he's quick in a straight line, and he's able to stay in front of his man, you know, whether that's a guard, you know, or a little bit bigger of a player as well. He has the quickness there to guard out on the perimeter. And, you know, really just something that the Hawks don't have other than with Jalen Johnson. There's a little bit of that. But, of course, you know, Jalen's maybe 6'9 or so. And Alex Sarr's listed at 7'1". And, of course, we know with the Hawks, defense is a major question, let's just say. Of, you know, with their roster, they lacked a lot of size last year. So, you know, taking Alex Sarr could be a great pick. Now the questions are, you know, his floor is not exactly, you know, the highest. He's not a guy that's going to come in and immediately, you know, be one of the, you know, top five guys on the roster. He does have, you know, questions about, you know, whether he can play center long term, just with his physicality. You know, he's a little bit skinny, hasn't really, you know, played too much in the post versus big guys. He's always kind of played more like a wing. You know, then on offense, you know, there's a lot of questions as well. He really hasn't shown a whole lot there, especially, you know, pairing him with Trae Young. You want a guy that, you know, wants to run the pick and roll, sets good screens, gets Trae open for threes, you know, rolls hard to the basket and is able to finish. He hasn't shown a lot of that, and a lot of the offensive game really is theoretical. You know, I'm not saying that it cannot happen, and I kind of do believe in his development there. But again, like, you know, with the Hawks, you know, especially with Trae Young putting pressure on the front office and just where they're at, you know, they really don't have picks in the next 3 years. So really they're in win now mode. And, you know, Alex Sarr isn't necessarily the guy that's just going to come in and be great on both ends of the floor. I think he will, you know, be pretty good defensively from the start, but offensively, you know, there's going to be a lot of work to do, and I don't know that he's necessarily the best fit there with Trae. Not to say that he can't grow into that, but, you know, it's not exactly who you would, you know, want to pick. You know, he doesn't have all the tools that you would exactly want to pick right now to start today with Trae Young. So there is some questions there as well, and that's kind of why, you know, there is some fluidity with, you know, who may be picked with this pick. I'm going to go on to Zachary Risacher. He has a little bit, you know, kind of some of the opposite problems, I would say, or questions was, you know, compared to Sarr in that, you know, one, he does have a higher floor. I believe his, you know, his skills and in just his position, really, you know, he's a 6'10", maybe 6'9", 6'10", wing that has, you know, solid defense and can shoot the ball. So these, you know, 3-and-D wings are coveted around the league, and, you know, he could fit anywhere. So just, you know, right off the bat, probably has a bit of a, you know, higher floor coming in straight away than someone like Sarr, who is, you know, probably going to need some, you know, more development. Not that Risacher doesn't need development, but he just can come in and kind of plug and play from day one. Now, with Risacher, you don't get the same upside that maybe you do with Sarr. So, you know, it's a question. Do you want to take that guy at number one? Personally, for me, you know, I'd be wanting to shoot for upside in the playoffs, especially, which I think, you know, Sarr could provide with just his versatility and potential to become, you know, one of these stretch bigs that is, you know, truly a seven-footer. You know, Porzingis type, Chet Holmgren type, you know, whatever it may be. I'm not saying that he would become as good as those guys, but just the archetype there could be quite intriguing. Even if he doesn't develop the shot, just being able to be so, you know, versatile defensively, and then if you can get him to a solid enough point on offense, that is a, you know, a very good player. So I just think there's more upside with Sarr, and personally, that's what I would shoot for. But again, there are other options. The Hawks are, you know, probably in more of a win now mode than the record might have suggested. But, you know, again, going back to Risacher here, it seems he can shoot the three. I do believe in his shot. He has good defensive tools and, you know, has shown a lot of ability to guard on ball pretty well. You know, there are questions about, you know, team defense and, you know, et cetera. But again, he's a young guy, so I'm sure, you know, that can be worked on. I'm going to talk about Donovan Clingan here. I've seen most of the online, you know, back and forth is really about Alex Sarr versus Donovan Clingan. I don't see a whole lot of the online community you know, looking at Risacher, but there's been this big debate about whether you take Klingon or Saar at number one, or whether maybe you trade back a few spots and take Klingon, because it is very interesting. You know, Donovan Klingon, you know, with Saar has some of the, you know, they're not the same type of player. So Donovan Klingon, you know, if you don't know, he is a 7'2", 7'3", true big man. You know, he's played at UConn for the last couple of years, and he is a, you know, true defensive anchor, true rim protector. You know, he definitely plays the center position, doesn't really play like Saar, who, you know, again, is more plays in that wing style. Donovan is a true center. He has real size. He is just really big. And, you know, surprisingly moves his feet decently well for his size. I'm not going to say that he's anywhere near, you know, Alex Saar's level or, you know, has a great ability to guard on the perimeter, but he is, you know, more mobile than you might think. And, you know, just really does a great job of, you know, protecting the paint and doing what his team needs to do. And then offensively, it's actually very surprising. You know, he's, again, not maybe not the most, you know, twitchy athlete or a guy that's going to be jumping high and finishing, you know, crazy lobs, but he knows how to play the game, you know, the right way. You know, whether it's making reads in the short roll, making passes, which his passing is actually very interesting for his size especially. But, you know, I think he can be, you know, a solid rebounder at the NBA level, and it gives you solid size and physicality, you know, at the center position. And he can, you know, probably fit in day one and be one of the guys in this draft that is just ready to go from day one. You know, his questions, I do have a lot of questions about him. One, and this is my biggest question, is how many minutes he can play. Especially with an 82-game season, you know, with that body type and, you know, his size that he does have, you know, a little bit lack of mobility, you know, he has slow foot speed, he already has had a little bit of, you know, injury concerns, so I'm just wondering how that, you know, his body and physique can actually hold up in an 82-game season. Can he play 30 minutes a night or not? You know, I don't have a lot of confidence that he should be playing more than 20, 22 minutes, which, you know, is very similar to, you know, a Clint Capella that we have now. You know, he is great at what he does, but, you know, he can't really play much more than 25 minutes a game and bring that same level of, you know, athleticism. He's kind of dropping off there. And with, you know, Donovan being so young, you know, he definitely, you know, maybe could get there. Maybe with the training staff, they can help him work on that. But again, it's just a question about how long can he stay on the floor every night, which, you know, is important, especially if you're, you know, going to build a roster around him. If he can only play, you know, 20 minutes, 25 minutes a game, you know, there's still, you know, almost 15 to 20 minutes left that someone else has to play, which, you know, is not necessarily a bad thing, especially if we have a Kongwu. But again, it's a question, do you want to take that guy at number one? So, you know, I would say those are the major positives and you know, questions about the top three. I do want to mention some other guys that I like personally, one being Ron Holland. He just has a lot of athleticism. There's questions about his shot, and but I think it would be interesting, you know, his defensive havoc creating, I would say, on defense is truly interesting. And then just having another, you know, 6'6 guy that is super athletic could always be interesting next to Trae Young. Again, the major question is his shot and some of his decision making. But, you know, with his athleticism, it could be interesting. I don't think he would need to be taken at number one. But, you know, just wanted to mention him as an option. Reed Sheppard is a very, very good player. Hawks are not probably going to take him just because we already do have Trey and DeJounte, which, of course, you know, one of them may be going, but I don't think they're going to be looking to add another small guard this time around. So we're probably have enough of those already. but yeah, you know, those are the top picks and the guys that they could go with. I'm going to transition here a little bit into, you know, maybe roster construction, trades, that could be, you know, what they may do. Because, you know, if you're taking Alex Saar, right, at number one, I'm imagining you're probably not going to keep Clint Capela and Onyeka Okongwu. There are other needs with this roster as well. You know, the major needs being point of attack defense, size. They only had a few forwards last year. Sadiq Bey went down, and, you know, really all you have is DeAndre Hunter, Jalen Johnson, who was also out for quite a while, Onyeka, and Clint. Those are your only real big guys that can play, that, or that you want to be playing solid rotation minutes. So, you know, they definitely lack a lot of depth there. But really, really the concerns, you know, one would be size, you know, forward depth, point of attack defense, and I would throw in there shooting as well, because, you know, there's a balance between, you know, what you need, size, athleticism, and shooting. A lot of the, you know, those can be, you know, not always, like, you can find a player like Gallo, but then, of course, you know, maybe you're sacrificing athleticism at that spot and defense there. So it's not all the time that you have to sacrifice, you know, athleticism, size, or, you know, three-point shooting, but generally, you know, the players that are uber athletic, have great size, and can shoot the three are, you know, going to be paid 40 plus million a year, right? So those guys aren't just around everywhere. But, you know, I think the shooting is an area that they need to work on as well, that I don't see a lot of people talking about, because really, I mean, who are the major shooters on this team? Who can shoot it? Trae Young, DeJounte has really improved there. Personally, I think we'll be moving on from DeJounte, so you'll be, you know, potentially losing that. And then Bogey, who really they like coming off the bench. So with the starting lineup, you know, really you have Trae Young, and then DeAndre can hit threes, but he's not like a high volume or elite level shooter that will just, you know, there's a difference between guys that will take shoot threes and spot up and shoot it, and then guys that will shoot, you know, no matter if there's a hand in their face or, you know, they're heavily contested, like a Bogey, who, you know, he'll bomb it from anywhere and he'll take 15 threes, you know, in a game if that's what you need from him that night. So, you know, I think that's an area that maybe isn't talked about as much, but I think really the big two needs, of course, would be point of attack defense and forward depth and size there. And then thirdly, shooting. Now, the, you know, the roster construction is going to be heavily dependent, you know, around who they do take at number one, right? If they are taking Saar, you know, you wouldn't imagine that Saar, Onyeka, and Clint are all going to be on this roster at the start of next season. I know a lot of people, you know, want Clint to be moved on from, which I can understand. He can be a frustrating player to watch. He still does a lot of good things for this team to provide stability, rebounding, which is another area that, you know, a lot of, you know, DeAndre Hunter lacks in that. Really, our two good rebounders, Onyeka lacks in that. Our two good rebounders are Jalen Johnson and Clint Capella. And, you know, other than that, who would you qualify as a or classify as a good rebounder on this team? So, you know, there is rebounding concerns as well. And again, that just goes back to the size of this team. And, you know, especially that's going to be needed when you're playing with Trae Young or small guards, you know, that maybe don't have the most physicality. So, DJ as well, you know, they do need to figure out what to do between Trae and DJ. I know there's a decent portion of the fan base that, you know, does want Trae to be gone. I think it's pretty ludicrous. He's maybe the, you know, the best player that the Hawks have ever had in franchise history. So just kind of getting rid of him because he's, you know, 6'1" or you know, maybe too small to be a great defensive player. You know, I think that's pretty silly. He's one of the best advantage creators in the league, one of the best passers in the league, and truly dynamic offensively. He will make, you know, any players around him better offensively. He draws doubles all the time. So he's a very unique player and not, you know, someone that you just want to throw away. So, you know, I would not be of the mind to trade Trae. You know, that is a possibility, but probably something I'm not going to explore too far on this podcast. I do think DeJounte, you know, just they don't work together. And it's really just comes down to that they're two small guards that cannot hold up on the perimeter defensively. So they just don't work great together. Then offensively, there's not a whole lot of chemistry there either. Especially with, you know, the way that DJ plays, you know, he wants to be the number one option. He wants to kind of get to his mid range. You know, he's not necessarily, he's not a great passer in the way that Trae is, to where, you know, he's kicking it out all the time, getting Trae wide open for a corner three that he can knock down. And, you know, maybe some of that is Trae, you know, not moving as well off the ball, but it really comes down to DeJounte's game as well. And, you know, just defensively, they don't fit together. And then offensively, it's not good enough of a fit to make that, you know, to make up for that, the defense. And so I really do feel like you have to pick one of them and probably move on from DeJounte this season or this off season. And, you know, one thing that's been floated around, one trade idea that I've seen a lot and makes a lot of sense to me actually, would be DJ and Clint for Dyson Daniels and Ingram, or some other you know, trade surrounding the Pelicans. I know last year I think they wanted Okongwu, so, you know, again, depending on who we pick, you know, if it's Klingon, maybe you want Clint to be able to mentor him, you know, whatever it may be. Depending on what they do with that number one pick, there could be other options. But I think, you know, dealing with the Pelicans or, you know, maybe the Pistons could also make some sense. Just someone, you know, that needs solid point guard or center, you know, those type of teams, you know, where you could trade DeJounte to and get some value back, or trade Clint to, maybe even DeAndre Hunter. But again, if we're trading Clint and Hunter and we already have a bad defense, we have to get pieces in place that maybe fit better and do improve the defense, because we can't just trade our best defensive players and then expect to get better next year. which I think is the goal. I think that's, you know, where the front office's headspace is. I think that's where Trey's headspace is, that they want to get better next year. They want to be competitive, get to the playoffs, and have a real chance of, you know, taking a series or two at least. So, you know, I think it's very interesting. There's going to be a lot of options, and, you know, I'll probably wait to do a little bit more about what may happen in free agency, you know, once we do actually select at number one, or, you know, trade the pick there, move down, take Donovan Klingon, Ron Holland, you know, went over that a little bit already. But, you know, I think I'll probably do some more about, you know, roster building and, you know, what may happen in free agency, potential trades they could make in the offseason. I'll do a little bit more about that after we pick at one. But there is certainly a lot of flexibility that they didn't have before they got the number one pick. So it's been an exciting time, and I'm excited to continue this podcast and hope that we can get, you know, get it to grow a little bit. Again, this is really going to be geared towards every, you know, 2 to 4 weeks. It's not going to be the longest episodes, but, you know, it'll be, you know, good to just talk about what's going around the Hawks and, you know, the major topics and brainstorm a little bit about, you know, what they could do. So this will be an interesting offseason. I'm excited to be starting this pod, and you can follow me on Twitter at HawksWatch99. But again, this is James Arnold. Thanks for listening.